Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we got James O'Keefe on the story with Pfizer, J.D. Vance on Ukraine. And finally, someone who wants to become a federal judge, I can't tell you what the Constitution is. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA Today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. I think it's so wrong what we are doing with Ukraine. I think that sending tanks to Ukraine is a major mistake. This last election cycle was disappointing in a lot of different ways. There were a few highlights for me, though. Getting Anna Paulina elected was definitely a highlight. And the other highlight for me was seeing J.D. Vance become Senator J.D. Vance. And he joins us now. Senator, welcome to the program. And boy, does it feel good to say that.
Thanks, Charlie. It's great to be with you.
So, Senator, tell me, how should we think about Ukraine? You had a lively but mostly peaceful conversation with Brian Kilmeade, where you ask the question, what is our ultimate objective? How should we think about Ukraine?
Well, I think in two ways, Charlie. First, we should think, what is our ultimate objective right now? And if I think the Biden administration was being honest, what they would tell you is the ultimate objective here for them is to use as many American weapons and as many American lives to get Russia bogged down in a long-term conflict. And look, I have no love for Russia. It's not my country. America's my country. But I think that poses certain risks, risks of escalating a conflict, risk of the conflict further involving Europe, risk potentially of a nuclear war, God forbid, if Russia feels cornered. And those are all things that we have to you know, include and think about in our own calculus. I think the flip side of it, Charlie, is I ask myself, what is the cost to the United States of this war? And I think the cost is simply too high. We don't really know how much money has been spent in Ukraine. It's probably north of $120 billion at this point. Just to put that in perspective, Charlie, we spent $60 billion on all of Homeland Security. That's border security and everything else that DHS does. So we're talking about twice what we spent securing our own border has gone to the Ukraine. And also, it's made our military weaker. We've got the leadership of the Defense Department telling us that we don't have enough munitions. We don't have enough equipment for our own military because we sent so much of it to Ukraine. So we need to rebuild that capacity. But while we're rebuilding that capacity, let's not send it all to a country that ultimately doesn't affect our core national security interests. And that's what I'm trying to hammer as much as possible in Washington.
Yeah, this is a rational way to look at it. And I want to encourage you and also applaud you for having prudence when it comes to this, because so many of our leaders don't. So I want our team to get a clip of Lindsey Graham. I'm not going to ask you to attack any of your colleagues, but I'm sure you disagree. Lindsey Graham says that we need to send whatever it takes to retake Ukraine. We got to escalate this while flanked by Sheldon Whitehouse and Senator Wyden. You've been a senator now for only a couple weeks. So can you just enlighten me and our audience? What is the private chatter amongst senators? Do they really believe in this fight in Ukraine? Have they thought this through? I can't imagine they have while still saying these things publicly. Again, I'm not asking you to say anything negative about your colleagues, but at least enlighten me. What are the differences? Give some clarity to my confusion here, because I do not understand it.
Yeah, I think the difference between me and, frankly, a majority or at least a lot of my Senate colleagues on the Republican side is that they tend to look at this in very moralistic terms, right? Putin bad, Ukraine good, and therefore we want to support the good guys. And that motivates a lot of the underlying thinking here. And my view is, look, foreign policy is way too complicated. You can accept that that Putin is bad and that Ukrainians have every right to defend their territory, while also asking yourself, what are the risks to us? What are the advantages to us? And how do we make sure that this doesn't become a wider conflict that really, really screws us over in the end? The other piece of this, Charlie, is that we have to recognize America is not all powerful. We should have learned that over the last 20 years. We've had a quagmire after quagmire after quagmire in foreign policy. And I'm looking around saying, man, we can only focus on one major threat at a time. And right now, the thing that I think we should be focused on is China, the risk that it poses to our economy, the way in which the Chinese are sending, you know, kilos of fentanyl into our country, weakening our people, killing our people. That to me is the real focus here. And when you have our own Defense Department saying we are going to have to choose between sending weapons to Ukraine or arming our own troops, that is not a hard decision. And unfortunately, I think not enough people are engaged in the very tough, ruthless cost-benefit analysis that we have to do when it comes to this conflict.
I mean, yeah, Ukraine is not America, period. So on play cut 70, just so that, you know, everyone heard JD's opinion here, and I totally agree with it. I sympathize with it. But let's contrast that with Lindsey Graham, flanked by two of the most liberal people, not Wyden, I'm sorry, it was Blumenthal and Whitehouse. They sometimes kind of all blur in my memory. So play cut 70 of Lindsey Graham saying, we need to go all in. Play cut 70.
Kevin McCarthy said no blank checks. That makes sense to me. We're not asking for a blank check. I'm not. I'm asking for military aid to accomplish the purpose of driving Russian invaders out of Ukraine. If Putin gets away with this, there goes Taiwan. If Putin's successful in Ukraine is not prosecuted under international law, everything we've said since World War II becomes a joke. He will continue beyond Ukraine.
It is it's a very interesting argument, JD, because he hasn't really been successful in Ukraine. So how would he continue beyond Ukraine? But again, I just want our audience to understand the differences of opinion here. JD, has anyone told you what the limit of money is here, or what is the level of escalation that they're unwilling to get to?
No, and I've never been told where we're eventually going to stop 80? Here. It's very clear that I think a lot of people are willing to write checks indefinitely so long as this thing keeps going on. And look, Charlie, it could go on for many years. But just to address what Lindsey said, I mean, first of all, like Lindsey and I get along very well. He's a good colleague, but I don't agree with him on this, Charlie. And here's why I don't agree with him. I think that too many in American foreign policy leadership have overlearned the lessons of World War II and not learned the lessons of other major world conflicts. Not everything is World War II in repeat. There's also World War I, of course, which was a relatively minor regional conflict that blew up into a massive continental scale war that killed millions and millions of innocent people because cooler heads didn't prevail. So the question here is not, do we surrender to Vladimir Putin? Vladimir Putin is clearly not powerful enough. You know, you've heard people say he might take over half of Europe. He's not powerful enough to take over half of Europe. That's not something that we should even be concerned about, not because he might not be willing to do it, but because he cannot do it. He doesn't have the ability to do it. And so when you're dealing with a weakened Russia and you're dealing with the Ukrainian situation that we have right now, I'm looking around saying, why aren't we focused on China? Why aren't we focused on the things that are clearly a national security threat to our own country? I do not think that Vladimir Putin has the ability to attack half of Europe. And because I don't think that, whether he is successful or unsuccessful in Ukraine is a much narrower question. I don't want him to be successful, but whether he's successful does not bear on the security of France. It just doesn't. It bears on the security of that very narrow slice of the world. The much bigger problem is China, and we have to focus on that.
Thank you so much, J.D. Vance. You are fighting with clarity and courage. Senator J.D. Vance, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie. Good to see you, man.
Okay, I do want to play this piece of tape. I do want to make sure this does not get overlooked because it just really summarizes the entire topic of this this Ukraine issue. The German foreign minister has to be really careful. He says NATO is now at war with Russia. That means we're at war with Russia. That's a big deal. This is not some sort of theory. It's not some sort of abstraction. Oh, we might go to war. No. The German foreign minister is now saying we are fighting a war against Russia. Did we sign up for that? Did we vote for that? Are you going to have your son or daughter be drafted into the military to go fight Russians? People that we should be partners with in the fight against the CCP. play cut 69.
And therefore, I've said already in the last days, yes, we have to do more to defend Ukraine. Yes, we have to do more also on tanks. But the most important and the crucial part is that we do it together and that we do not do the blame game in Europe, because we are fighting a war against Russia and not against each other.
Ich bin hein insane. Ridiculously irresponsible for her to be saying that. To say that we are now at war against Russia. Ukraine is not part of NATO. This is no longer, oh, it could get us into some sort of a conflict. We are an errant missile away, or a German soldier from being killed, from getting into something that could then get wildly out of control. In a strange way, I know this is kind of a bad handoff, but it seems so coordinated that we close down our operation in Afghanistan, and then we open up an operation in Ukraine. I would much rather have these clowns playing around in Afghanistan in rather low stakes geopolitics, not helpful for the country, than focus all their energy on a nuclear armed power and a dictator, Vladimir Putin, that we don't know how far he's willing to push it. So irresponsible. But that's never been their mandate, responsibility. Saying that we are fighting a war against Russia, that we are financing, and via proxy, to only increase the temperature. Why is there not an effort? Well, we know the answer why, but to try to broker peace. What has Joe Biden done materially to try to bring us closer to peace? Anything. In life, sometimes you have to make concessions. Okay, the eastern part of Ukraine is largely homogeneously Russian. They speak Russian. They're culturally Russian, and they want to be Russian. You can have an election, then they've had it before. They want to be part of Russia. The western part of Ukraine wants to be part of Ukraine, and it's not scientific or mathematically simple to be able to find the actual determining place, but you're going to have to make a decision at some point. Why is there, let me say it differently. When was the last time you heard anybody say the phrase peace negotiations or ceasefire? Anybody? That shows that this entire thing is being managed by irresponsible people. Why is there not at least every day someone saying we're trying to have peace negotiations? It seems that they want war for the sake of war. And I know this is a very bizarre thing, because now I feel like the 1970s hippie person. Make love, not war. Honestly, we want peace in this regard. And the very political party, the Democrats, that are supposed to be the party of free love and peace and psychedelic mushrooms, they're the ones that are the most enthusiastic to funnel weapons and tanks and missiles to increase the temperature in Ukraine. And I will ask this question again. What does success look like? If you say success is to drive every Russian out of Ukraine, you're living in Narnia. Come back to reality. Those who argue with reality live in hell. This is a new year, and that means you need a new investing strategy. If you are tired of corporations who continue to push their agendas, then you need to speak to my friends at Pax Financial Group. I trust my money with Pax Financial Group, and they are fiduciaries who take pride in the fact that they sincerely honor Christian values. The time is now for you to move your IRA, old 401ks, or other investments to an organization that will respect your values. Check out PaxFinancialGroup.com or simply text Charlie at 74868. Text Charlie to 74868. That is Charlie to 74868. What Project Veritas has been able to do and been able to pull off is incredible. Let's play some of this tape as we're attempting to get James O'Keefe. Play cut 86, which is hidden camera of Jordan Tristan Walker, who's the Pfizer Director of Research and Development Strategic Operations and mRNA Scientific Planning, tells Project Veritas, quote, we're exploring how the virus keeps mutating. Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, you know how the virus keeps mutating? He said it again. I think he was drunk. So we could preemptively develop new vaccines so we don't have to do that. If we're going to do that, there's a risk of life, as you can imagine. No one wants to have a pharma company mutating effing viruses. They're doing gain-of-function research. Play cut 86.
We're exploring, like, you know how the virus keeps mutating?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we could preemptively develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're going to do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you could imagine, no one wants to be having a pharma company mutating fucking viruses.
Yeah.
So okay. We're like, do we want to do this? So that's, like, one of the things we're considering.
Okay.
For, like, the future, like, maybe we can, like, create new versions of the vaccines and things like that.
Okay, so Pfizer ultimately is thinking about mutating COVID?
Well, that is not what we say to the public. No. That's why it was a thought that came up in a meeting, and we were like, why do we not? It was like, we're going to consider that. There'll be more discussions.
Okay.
That exact reaction, right? We're like, wait a minute. Like, people won't like that.
James O'Keefe from Project Veritas joins us now. James, welcome back to the program. Congratulations on this incredible story and what you've been able to discover here. We have all the clips and I want to throw to them, but first I want to welcome James. James, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Charlie, great to be with you.
It's a bombshell story. Walk us through it.
Well, you know, this is the first installment, Charlie. We have another video coming out here later today. And this is a Pfizer director. He's not a low-level guy. We obtained internal document showing that does mRNA research. He has a doctorate and he went to Yale, actually. So he's not a little person. He's talking about the things he doesn't want the people to know. He says, don't tell anybody. He was very emphatic about our journalists not sharing this with anybody about some of the things they're doing, experimenting on animals, changing the language from, like you said, gain of function to what he called directed evolution. And Charlie, as of this moment, this is the most watched Project Veritas video in the history of Project Veritas. And we also have whistleblowers coming to us from within Pfizer even last night after this has been released.
It's incredible. So let's play some of that tape here. We played one of them. Let's play another. I want to get your reaction here. The most watched video ever. Again, this guy has a lot of power. He says, quote, don't tell anyone this. There is a risk. Have to be very controlled to make sure this virus you mutate doesn't create something the way that the virus started in Wuhan. Whoa. So now not only are we getting confirmation that Pfizer is doing what should be illegal gain of function research here domestically, but now he's just casually saying we know that it came from Wuhan. Play cut 87.
So the way that we're thinking about it, don't tell anyone this. You probably won't tell anyone. So the way it would work is, like, we put them in the virus in these monkeys.
Okay.
And then we successively, like, cause them to keep infecting each other. And we collect serial samples from them. And then the ones that are more infectious, like the virus, we'll put them in another monkey and just constantly actively mutate it. That's one way.
Okay.
But you have to be, like, very controlled to make sure that this virus that you mutate doesn't create something that, like, you know, goes everywhere.
Something crazy.
Is the way that the virus started in Wuhan. To be honest, like, it makes no sense if this virus popped out of nowhere. Like,
yeah, I know.
But I think they're also just trying to do it as an exploratory thing because you obviously don't want to advertise that you're trying to figure out future mutation.
James, your reaction.
I mean, Charlie, it's hard to believe that people like this exist. What my reaction is, not being a doctor, is just the conceit, the arrogance, the greed, the total lack of introspection, the narcissism. If these are the medical professionals who are in charge of the vaccine and in charge of our health, then we're screwed. Also, I just want to confirm that I did speak with this individual in New York City two nights ago. I had an encounter with him. I asked him for comment, and that video will be coming out here imminently.
Well, I can't wait to see that. So let me play another piece of tape here. It's Jordan Tristan Walker, how Pfizer is a revolving door for government officials. Play cut 88.
revolving door for all government officials.
Wow.
Yeah, for any industry though. So like in the pharma industry, all the government officials who like, you know, review our drugs, especially yeah. come work for pharma companies. Like the military, like all the like army and defense, like government officials eventually go work for the defense companies afterwards.
How do you feel about that revolving door? Like,
it's pretty good for the industry, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's bad for everyone else in America.
Why is it bad for everybody else?
Because if the regulators who have to approve our drugs know that once they stop being a regulator, they want to go work for the company, they're not going to be as hard for the company. And they're reviewing their job.
Right.
James, where is law enforcement here? This is high-stakes stuff. This is unbelievable, James.
Well, I mean, that's the question is, what can Congress do? And I have been in touch with U.S. senators and representatives. But the problem is, Charlie, is that we have a Department of Justice that seems to be in alliance with Pfizer. In fact, Judicial Watch unearthed documents showing that the Department of Justice and Pfizer were speaking to each other about Project Veritas. So how do you have a justice or accountability with our law enforcement agencies than when they're working in a symbiotic relationship with pharmaceutical companies? The best accountability we can have is to have these people's faces on video like this, create a groundswell. And the fact that the people on the left side of the aisle have said nothing about the story means it's bulletproof. They're probably shocked as well, but won't publicly admit it.
It's just incredible. Dr. Robert Malone responds to these, the story, Play Cut 97.
You're gaining function. You're creating a new function in virus one by adding elements from virus two, infecting one monkey and then another monkey. That's called serial passage. That appears to have been one of the technologies deployed in the Wuhan Institute of Virology with the humanized mouse strains that I believe were obtained from EcoHealth Alliance. That's an example of directed evolution. The gentleman seems to have absolutely no moral compass at all about what he's doing.
This is beyond a bombshell, everybody, of what we are learning that Pfizer is actively doing. And if you type Pfizer into Google, there is not a single media story about this. You type Pfizer into Google, it says FDA does not see increased rise of stroke for seniors who receive Pfizer's Omicron vaccine. Pfizer gains as market dips. Their stock is up. Thanks, Pfizer meme, how COVID vaccine videos sparked a backlash. One more here, Cut 98. I'm going to get James to respond. Play Cut 98 as Dr. Robert Malone continued.
And the gentleman in your investigative work has clearly indicated that Pfizer believes that it has successfully captured the regulatory apparatus of the United States government and presumably worldwide. Pfizer has completed regulatory capture, is quite proud of it.
They have completed regulatory capture. James, 1 minute remaining, your closing thoughts.
Well, I think it's that goes to the revolving door comments that this individual made to us and goes back to some of the reporting like Christopher Cole and the FDA who made similar comments about a year ago. This is the only way, Charlie, we're going to have accountability is to expose these people. And we hope the people of the conscience watch this report. Most watched Project Veritas video of all time, by the way. We hope people have a conscience and come forward to VeritasTips@ProtonMail.com. It's going to be journalism that saves us. It's going to be exposure and hopefully getting some bipartisanship on this issue. I know as Americans, we don't agree on much, but I think we can all agree that lying to people about what you are doing is wrong, especially when it comes to public health. Regardless of your position on the vaccine or the pandemic, you shouldn't lie to customers about your product. Mm-hmm. That's fraud. And I hope this inspires people to come forward and be brave.
Very good. James O'Keefe, everyone check out Project Veritas and support them. He is a hero. It is a bombshell story. It's extraordinary. And I'm going to be encouraging many members of Congress to be sending out subpoenas like Frisbees, because Pfizer needs to answer for this. Is there gain-of-function research happening domestically here in America? We're going to find out, and I will personally lobby for that. Thank you, James. God bless you. Support Project Veritas. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but that when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing, towels that actually dry you. the 6-piece towel set that includes 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a 6-piece set for only $49.99 with promo code KIRK. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have their 60-day money-back guarantee to receive this amazing offer on the 6-piece set off MyPillow towels. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code KIRK or call 800-875-0425. That's MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. Check it out right now. MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. I want to play Ron DeSantis again on our program. Sat down with him this morning, clarifying his position on the RNC race, and he has spoken out on the RNC race. Donald Trump has not. And I'm actually going to the RNC meeting right after this. And then secondly, I want to get to, then we'll get to Cut 101. So we got a lot to get to, not a lot of time to do it. Let's play Cut 100. Ron DeSantis on our show. If you want to hear the entire conversation with Ron DeSantis, take out your phone and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Play Cut 100. Right now, the RNC is meeting in Dana Point, California. And there are some questions of who should lead the RNC and whether it should be Rana for a fourth term or go a different direction with Harmeet Dhillon. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, we've had 3 substandard election cycles in a row, 18, 20, and 22. And I would say of all 3 of those, 22 was probably the worst given the political environment of a very unpopular president in Biden. Huge majorities of the people think the country's going in the wrong direction. That is an environment that's tailor-made to make big gains in the House and the Senate and state houses all across the country, and yet that didn't happen. And in fact, we even lost ground in the U.S. Senate. And so, you know, I think we need a change. I think we need to get some new blood in the RNC. I like what Harmeet Dhillon has said about getting the RNC out of D.C. Why would you want to have your headquarters in the most Democrat city in America? It's more Democrat than San Francisco is. So I think you get it in real parts of the country. You attract people who want to live in those parts of the country, not D.C. insiders. But I do think we need some fresh thinking. And here's the thing, just practically speaking, you need grassroots Republicans to power this organization with volunteering and donations. I think it's going to be very difficult to energize people to want to give money, to want to volunteer their time with the RNC if they don't see a change in direction.
Do you have any personal experience with the RNC? I mean, because they'll say that Florida was one of their great successes this last cycle.
So we actually ran our election assuming we weren't going to be involved with the RNC at all because they weren't raising the type of money that they needed to be raising. And so our Get Out the Vote, our ground operation, we funded that. We focused a lot on actually low propensity voters, and we turned out a lot of low props, which is very, very good. So it was very successful, you know, but that was really being driven by our agenda, our accomplishments, and us putting a lot of dollars behind this important ground game.
That clip is going viral. Ron DeSantis calling for change at the RNC. You guys can hear the entire conversation on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page, so make sure you do that. Also, we're going to air it on Real America's Voice. Okay, I got to get to this clip. This is worth a whole hour of radio. Biden put up a judicial nominee by the name of Sharnell Bajelk-Krenigen. Did I say that right? Sharnell Bajelk-Kendrin. Okay. And I'm guessing that is Finnish or Norwegian. It seems Scandinavian. Anyway, so she was asked a direct question. It's unbelievable. By Senator Kennedy. She wants to be a federal judge. She allegedly went to college and got a degree. This woman was born in Great Lakes, Illinois, graduated cum laude from Mankato State University at Minnesota State University. In 2000, she earned her JD from Gonzaga University School of Law. This is a person who has a college degree and is currently a judge. Listen to this. This is currently a judge who wants to be a federal judge. Play Cut 101.
Judge on the far end. Tell me what Article 5 of the Constitution does.
Article 5 is not coming to mind at the moment.
Okay. How about Article 2?
Neither is Article 2.
Do you know what purposivism is?
In my 12 years as an assistant attorney general and my 9 years serving as a judge, I was not faced with that precise question.
I just can't even. What is Article 2 of the Constitution? You want to be a federal judge. You went to Gonzaga School of Law, and you can't tell me. I could tell you what Article 2 is. Article 2, it involves the executive branch, the requirements of this president, how you elect them, how they're put into office. Article 1 deals with Congress. Article 3 with the Supreme Court of the United States. Article 5, how you alter the Constitution. This is not hard. There are 7 articles to the U.S. Constitution. I know that, and I didn't go to college. I'm a high school graduate. This is not hard. And you are a judge who wants to be a federal judge at a Senate confirmation hearing. It takes a lot to surprise me, a lot. My tolerance for surprise is very high. This shocks me. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.